goodsuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. And I pray that you visit everyone listening to this podcast, live or who will listen to the recording. Bless everyone. Let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains overcoming the subtle enemies of greatness. Just to start, last week we looked at a topic that says strategies for making room for more. And for a couple of weeks, we've been looking at making room for more. Getting ready to get bigger than wherever we are right now. Which means that wherever anyone is, there is an opportunity to become bigger. Opportunity to become greater. That's how God crafted us naturally to begin to look for ways to become bigger. And remember that scripture that says, enlarge the place of your tent, which means there's a task, there's a responsibility for you and I to actually enlarge it by ourselves. And then we should let people stretch out the curtains of our dwellings. So last week, we were able to understand that you can't do it alone. People will have to help you in that greatness, because the greatness we are talking about is the one that you can't undo alone by yourself. You will need help. And then we should lend in our cords, we should expand, we should strengthen our stakes. Lending your cords talks about relationships, which means that you're going to have to relate with people, strengthen your stakes. Do not spare, don't limit God, so to say. The devil cannot limit God. The only person who can limit what he wants to do in your life or in my life will be you or myself. So let's not limit God. Let's not use our tiny brains to begin to craft exactly what God wants to do in our lives. So let's fast forward to today's episode. It says overcoming the enemies of greatness is still a follow-up of, you know, the series making room for more. However, today we're going to look at the reasons why people don't eventually become great. You know, sometimes we end up looking at where we are, comparing it with other people. And that's why God says anyone who compares himself with other people is not wise. So when you compare yourself with other people, you're going to look at what you've achieved and what they've achieved. But we may be making a very drastic and great mistake, because God's plan for you may be the size of the sun, while God's plan for someone else, so to say, their capacity may just be maybe the size of the moon. If you know how many times the sun is bigger than the moon, our own moon in our planets, you'll be shocked. So if you're comparing yourself with them and looking at their moon kind of achievement, you'll be so glad that you're bigger than them. But when you look at God's original plan for your life or for my life, then you know that, oh, I'm still far away. That is why we can compare with other people. There is greatness locked up inside of you and inside of myself. We should not let the circumstances of life or the belief system of people around us or what is normally achievable by people around us to limit us. Or by what somebody said or by what you see every day by yourself, that should not limit you, that should not limit me. And because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Because you can't see that glorious destiny physically, I'm talking about, you know, the experiential knowledge, so to say, that you have been able to feel it. For example, if somebody says, oh, God has given you everything, you can have a car. Yes, that's a knowledge, it's in the spiritual realm. But there's a difference between when you know that in your brain and when you can hold on to the steering and you are steering it and you know that, okay, I'm the one behind the wheels right now. There's a difference between the two. So because you can't see, it doesn't mean it's not there. That's the bottom line here. And because you are seeing only little, doesn't mean you should limit yourself or I should limit myself to that little I'm seeing right now. God's plan is bigger than what you can ever think or imagine. The Bible says so, that the thoughts that I have towards you, they are thoughts of peace, to give you hope and an expected end. I think sometimes we always assume the expected end is what we expect. No. Is God's expected end, which is bigger than what we can imagine or think. So God's plan for me and God's plan for you will not be limited to what I can see. Imagine, I don't know what Abraham was seeing before God asked him to go and look at the skies. I don't know. However, I believe everything about his mentality changed God was like, I will give you a child. And he was expecting, let me just have a child. And that child will give birth to other children and then other children. And God is saying, you are not getting it, this guy. What I'm talking about is more than what you can count or what you can imagine with your brain. Okay, the best way I can explain this is, in a dark night, look at the stars. And when he saw the stars, it wasn't far from that time that everything changed and Abraham was able to have his promise. So, what are you seeing right now? Which brings us to the first point today. What do you see in the mirror? What you see about yourself will reflect in almost everything you do. Spiritually, physically, in business, in career, it will reflect there. If what you are seeing is smallness, let me just be okay with my family, and you don't see yourself being a blessing to nations, then it's difficult for it to happen because we will be injuring God, which should not happen. What do you see in the mirror? Gideon was seeing himself as the lowest person when God made him the ruler of the whole nation to rescue his people from the problem they have. Right now, maybe all you are looking for is, let me just get a better job. Let me just get, start a business. Let me be able to feed my family. And God is saying, you are not getting it. You are like Gideon, who is supposed to rescue a whole nation, a whole city, a whole people, a whole set of Christians. You are supposed to show them the way to go. You are supposed to have that deep revelation, that deep understanding that can rescue people. And all you are seeing is just small. Imagine the 12 spies. 10 out of 12 people saw the wrong thing. Only 2 people stood out. So because everybody can see the little things of life, doesn't mean you should also join them. In fact, if you check very well, you will see that most people, most times, the majority of the people are wrong. It is not about democracy. Your life is not based on how many people agree that you can do it. No, it's based on one person that another person agrees with. The first person is God. God says it, you believe it, then it can happen if you walk towards it. No other person needs to believe. If you believe, it can come to pass. So what do you see in the mirror? When you look at the mirror, maybe you have your phone in your hands. I just want us to do an exercise. Put your phone before you. Maybe turn on the camera. Look at yourself. Who do you see in there? Do you just see the person who bears your name, or the person that God made in his own image, that God designed to achieve great things in life and destiny? That is who I see right now as I'm looking at my own phone. That is the greatness I see. It doesn't matter what happens around me. It doesn't matter if people cannot see it. It doesn't matter if I cannot see it. It doesn't matter if challenges of life are trying to, choke it up. But what I do know is that there's a plan of God for this person I'm seeing in the mirror. What do you see? What is the plan and purpose of God that you see for yourself? And we all know that if you can see it as the Bible says it, it can come to pass. I've shared over and over again how I saw some things in the Bible and they came to pass exactly the same way. Do you know why that is possible? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he puts it in his word, and he has done it for some people in his world, it is also possible for you in your own world. If you can find it and take hold of it and believe it and act towards it, it will be possible. Not because the world believes it, not because it aligns to the system of the world, but because God said it. There's a difference between when you do something because psychology says so, it makes sense to do so, or because it is common sense to do so. That is normal. That is the normal way of life. However, what makes a drastic difference is if you do it because God says it. Check the Bible. Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, you are walking on water? Oh, no. I can do the same thing. I can step into this greatness. And he said, Jesus, can I come? And Jesus said, come. And he stepped on water and he began to do the same thing Jesus did. That is a graphic illustration for you and I. If we do it because we want to do it, we will sink. Because it was clear from that story that as Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking towards Jesus, he was doing it because Jesus said so. He didn't sink. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. The word of God concerning your life and my life, if I walk towards it, because God said so, it will surely come to pass. But if I do it because it makes sense to do so, just because it makes sense, it will make sense. And sometimes it may not make natural sense. But because God said so, that is the only reason why it will work. Gideon, God said, go in this thy might. It made all the difference for him. David, he found out from the world that he's been anointed, just like you and I have been anointed. And he stepped out to go and face Goliath. He went there in the name of the Lord, not because of himself. If you look at challenges of life by yourself, many of us will just think about killing ourselves because they will so weigh you down. There will be so much. I mean, little things like technology can weigh all of us down. Like your phone is just not working the way it should work. And you need it right now. Do you know how much? How many of us have felt that before? Like, you want to use your phone for something and it's hanging. You know, remember all those times that phones hang a lot. And you're like, oh my God, I need to do this thing right. I need to pick this call right now. Or I need to respond to this message right now. And the phone begins to hang. Maybe you even try to switch it up. It refuses to switch up until you take out the battery. Yeah. So it happens. You can see how important can a phone be that to stress all of us. You can see how much it can be stressful. Now imagine if you look at the issues of life, the challenges of life, they can weigh out any one of us. But if you do things because God said so, it will make all the difference in the world. It will make the difference in heaven. It will make the difference on earth. In fact, the funniest thing is, I'm going to do two analogies right now. We have all heard about the iceberg. When you say the tip of the iceberg, that means what you have below is, I've forgotten the percentage, but probably 75 to 80% of what you see above. The challenges of life that you see every day, it's probably the same thing. If you know the paths of darkness that build themselves around those things, and you're like, why am I so weighed down? Why can't I just forge ahead? Why can't I just get to greatness? Those forces are trying to pull things down. But if you now also look at the power of God, those you can see are more than those who are with you. Let's put it that way. You can see favor, you know, little favor here and there. If you know how many angels that are assigned for you and I, then you know that the person you see in the mirror is more than that. See, it doesn't matter whether the president of a nation is ugly, tall, short, or whatever. The moment he becomes president, you'll be shocked at how many people say yes sir to him. What I mean by yes sir is they do what he says without thinking. When the general of an army commands a recruit or a captain or whoever is below him to do something, they just do it immediately. That is how God's angels are just around you and I. Overcoming the enemies of greatness. The first thing is, who do you see in the mirror? The image of yourself that you see in the mirror, of myself that I see in the mirror, matters a lot. Because it will reflect in every other thing, just like I said before. The Holy Spirit is revealing to you and I that you must agree with God on what He says about your life. I must agree with God. If I don't agree, every other thing falls apart. Things fall apart. The center holds no more. I must agree with God, first and foremost. I must look at myself in the mirror and say, yes, this person is the one that God made. My wife was telling me about a little kid in a school that was always wearing face mask. And she was like, why are you always wearing face mask? There's no COVID anymore. And she said, I don't like my face. That's a little girl. I don't like my face. But however, many of us also have these things inbuilt in us. Unconsciously, it's there. That we just don't like something about ourselves. I don't like the way I write. I don't like the way I think. I don't like the way I do things. I don't like the way I talk. I don't know how to talk. We all focus on the negative things. Remember the episode we did on focusing on what is good instead of what is wrong. The sin that Adam and Eve committed. They left every other thing in the garden and focused on one thing they don't have. What do you have? Who do you see in the mirror? That's the very first point today. I want us to just think, do that exercise. Look at your phone. This person I see, do I personally like him? Because if you like him, there is no harm. You are just liking the person God made. Do you like this handwork of God that you are seeing in the mirror? Or you're just comparing yourself with the giants. You know, sometimes you do so many good things. Maybe you just bought a car, you are able to squeeze money and you bought one Toyota Corolla like that. And then somebody just zoomed past you with the latest Mercedes in town or Tesla or something. And suddenly, all the greatness you just achieved, all the things you just did, that you bought a car, you are rejoicing, everything just goes down because you compared. If you don't compare, you'll be so glad. But the moment you start comparing, you see how great that person is and how not great the person you are looking at in the mirror is. However, that is the same thing the 10 spies did. They forgot everything God said about Israel, about the Jews, about his people. And then they focused on those people, the giant. They saw how big those people were. And what happened? Because they compared, they saw how small they were. They were like grasshoppers, having no value. And God eventually destroyed all of them, except two people. We must be careful who we compare ourselves with, what we compare ourselves with. In fact, let's not compare ourselves with anyone. The only standard is the plan and purpose of God for your life and for my life. The question is, am I fulfilling it? Am I doing it? Am I working towards it? Then the second point today, we have about 10 points. We are only going to take as far as we can and then probably continue next week, if God permits us. The second one is, which is a follow-up of the other one, the everyone is better than me syndrome. That's the Gideon kind of imposter syndrome. I'm the smallest. The moment you say smaller or smallest, you are comparing. Everyone is better than me. Yes, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that, Philippians 2:3. Now, that scripture can be confusing. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. But we have to read the old chapter before we understand what's happening. The previous chapter and the next chapter, or the verses. We understand that there's a place also that he told you to also see yourself as great enough. So, because that scripture says you should esteem others better than yourself, it's just telling us about pride. That don't have this superiority mentality over everyone. No, that's what it's just addressing. Respect other people. Other people deserve some respect. That is what it's emphasizing. However, we should not begin to look at this negative spirit that says everyone is better than me. You are so good at what you do. But when you look at other people, you just feel like you are not as good. You are not good enough. Sometimes these things start from families, from parents, because sometimes they said, oh, can't you see that person? This is what he's doing. And then you begin to compare yourself with that person or with other people. And that's why as parents, we must be very careful not to compare our children with other people. But we must avoid this. It's an enemy of greatness. Everyone is better than me syndrome, the imposter syndrome. No. If you do what you know how to do right now, for most of us, what we know how to do right now, if you focus on it and dwell on it, you'll be shocked at how good you are. I was telling my wife recently, you know, I joined a webinar and I listened to this person saying all manner of things. I'm like, everything this person said, I know everything. I'm probably better than what she said. So why can't I just step up and do the same thing? That is the spirit we should have. We should begin to look at how great God has made us to be. Not for our own sake, but for the glory of God. What is the next enemy of greatness? Pride. Pride. Because there's a thin line between self-esteem and pride. Self-esteem is agreeing with God to believe what is said about your life and about my life. However, we should not go overboard to begin to think we can replace God. And how do we think we can replace God? When we begin to think we can do things without praying, without fasting, without depending on God, without mentioning God as the one who did it. Many of us can talk about great things that we did. The only thing is we may not want to talk about God as being the one behind it. That is what makes you different from the world, from the motivational speakers in quotes, from the influencers in quotes, who will never mention God. Believe in yourself. There is nothing so against scripture than that word, believe in yourself. Yes, it can be right to some extent. Believe in yourself about what God said about you. That would be the complete statement. Believe that what God said about you is true. That would be the complete statement. So we should avoid pride. It creeps in slowly. You know, sometimes it will look as if I'm just claiming rights. I'm claiming my rights. But it can be pride sometimes. The Bible even said, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one. Of course, you know, if the chick is not paying you, you can sit there and let them keep slapping you. But that's not what that scripture is saying. That's just the best way to explain it. It's saying when people cheat you, you can go without actually trying to repay them with the same thing. That's like you are saying, slap me again. That's the meaning of that. Because naturally, if somebody cheats you, you're supposed to cheat them back and do the same thing they did. They slap you on one cheek, you give the other one. But he's saying in this case, just leave. Avoid the confrontation. It's as good as the person slapping you again. That's the meaning. Because it should be eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But he's saying no. Just maintain peace. That is what that is saying. So, the Bible says, pride goes before a fall. Self-sufficiency is pride. We should avoid that. Don't be self-sufficient. God is your sufficiency. Jesus is your sufficiency. Jesus is my sufficiency. So, the enemy of greatness, one of it is pride, because the Bible says pride goes before a fall, which means if I want to be great and I allow pride in my life, God forbid, I'm just saying I'm already on my way down, because God will personally supervise the downfall of the proud. And that's what the Bible says. God will personally supervise it. Then what is the other enemy of greatness? Avoid resentment and avoid keeping grudges. This one, if you can end there, I'm okay by it. This one has crept so much in the church of God that when we even start manifesting it, we don't know we are manifesting it. That's how bad it is. Number one, pride is eating so deeply in the church of God. The other thing is resentment, holding grudges, fighting people, bitterness. You'll be so shocked at the amount of bitterness that runs through us as Christians. That's why the Bible says the root of bitterness, don't let it spring up. I think that explanation almost explains it like snake. When snake goes into any place, it just hides. It hides under the grass. Snake under the green grass. When snake enters the house, it doesn't stay where everybody can see it. It just quickly finds a hiding place and is ready to strike. That is exactly how resentment and keeping grudges is. When it enters one's life, you won't even know it. Most times you may not know it, because what will be coming to your mind is, I'm claiming my rights. I am right. I can't take that. I will show them. After all, I'm right. That's exactly what happens. But when we check it, that's why the Bible says, examine yourself. Examine. If something is not hidden, it won't say examine. When you want to examine something, you are looking for the hidden things, checking what is there that shouldn't be there. So we examine ourselves to be sure that something is not hiding in our lives that shouldn't be there. Somebody says something against you, you know, naturally it just looks as if it's gone. But the next time when you see the person and it feels like you should not greet the person or you should retaliate one way or the other, then you should know there is a problem. That is when we should examine ourselves. Find a way to make peace immediately. In church, you see how somebody will not be greeting somebody. Somebody will just be acting in a funny way to someone else. These things are dangerous. These are the things that send people straight to hell. We should be very careful about it. Keeping grudges is very, very dangerous. It's one of the greatest enemies of greatness. We should be very careful about it. Avoid resentment. Avoid keeping grudges. Because it always looks like you are claiming your rights. If Jesus wanted to claim his rights, we would be direct enemies of God. But Jesus did not claim his rights. He kept his mouth shut. He forgave. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. So today, let's examine ourselves. These are the reasons why prayers are not answered. Kenneth Hagin explained something in one of his, I think, books or messages I heard years ago. And he said there are two families in a church. He said there is this family, they somehow just get wayward and move away from Christ, and then they come back, they repent, and before you know it, they are receiving miracles, they are receiving healings and all manner of things. They don't hold grudges, but they are not sound spiritually. There's another one, another family. These are the Jim Jim Christians. Sound. However, forgiveness, oh my goodness, is almost absent in their family. Somebody is fighting somebody, somebody is fighting somebody. I said, they are always the ones getting sick. They are always the ones having issues. The major reason why our prayers will be hindered people doing if you don't forgive other people? So, avoid grudges by all means. I've had situations in my life. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm also going to examine myself again now. I've had situations in my life that somebody offended me. And I was living in a house, and then in that place, there's this lady, my neighbor. Something just happened. I don't know what it is. I can't even remember. But I know she refused to greet me. She wasn't talking to me again. And I was angry. I was like, she was supposed to even apologize. But my spirit wouldn't rest. It was as if I was the one that offended her, because I couldn't rest anymore. I had to call her and make peace. I think eventually I led her to Christ. So imagine if I also was holding grudges, I would be the one that needs to be restored to Christ. So we must make sure that no matter what somebody does to hurt you or to hurt me, let's examine ourselves to forgive quickly. Not just to forgive. Not that, you know, after 1 month you now said, okay, you know, now I want to forgive you. No, immediately. Like, the moment you realize that something is not right in your spirit with that person, you look for ways to forgive. In fact, in closing, I'm just going to explain how the Bible explains this situation. This issue that we have in church, that somebody does something wrong and then we start telling other people, and so many people know, that's not the way. The Bible explained it clearly. It said, if a brother offends you, what do? You call that person directly and tell them, you have offended me. If the person wouldn't make peace with you, now you can call for someone else, maybe another brother, and say, see, I want you to meet this person so that we can make peace. I want us to forget the issue. If the person still refuses, you call the elders of the church. Can you see how many steps? That God really wants forgiveness. Call the elders of the church and make sure it is settled. If that does not settle it, then you can now start looking at the person as, you know, one of the unbelievers. So you can see how many steps we have to go through for peace to happen. That we must make sure peace happens. We must. Like, it's not, you know, something you decide to do. No, it must happen. That's how God wants us to do it. So I just want to implore us today. We have only been able to touch about 3 steps here, because these are the things that hinder people's prayers. In my Christian walk, I can tell you, I've noticed that the very spiritual people are the ones who don't forgive other people. The ones who are just Christians, who are just freestyle people, they forgive easily. Trust me, I can almost say this. But the people who are the prayerful people, who are the people who fast every day, they are the ones who don't forgive. I don't know why, but I think because sometimes we move from being spiritual to being religious, especially when we are too busy in church. Busy doing things that don't really bring souls to Christ. So we must even examine all these things. So when you are too busy, you begin to move from being spiritual to being religious. And then you begin to do things and you will not have enough time to examine and actually listen to the Holy Spirit, because your spirit has blended with that of the Spirit of God. See, when you are born again, after a while, the things of the Spirit become spiritually natural. You don't think about it again. When you become born again, to lie, you have to consider, I don't want to lie. There's a time coming when you begin to walk with God. Lying will be out of the place. Stealing will be out of the place. It will just be natural. Like, you are not planning to do it again. It's natural that when somebody tells you to lie, you're like, sorry. It doesn't even come to your brain to lie. So maybe because of that, when those issues begin to creep in, you just tend not to notice it. So I think we should just take some time to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the fire, the purging fire, the cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost purges every one of us right now and make us pure again in the name of Jesus. Anyway, we've allowed the enemy to take advantage of our insensitivity in the spirit, Lord, forgive us. Have mercy and cleanse us afresh so that your greatness will come upon us. In the name of Jesus, we all know that the smoother a surface is, the more it can shine light. You said, let your light so shine before men. You said, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Father, We want all the things that are not like you in our lives to be pushed away tonight by the blood of Jesus, afresh by the Holy Spirit, by the refining fire of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be able to reflect your glory with the intensity you should have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So it's been a wonderful time with everyone today, and hoping to see you next week, and you are going to bring one more person. I just want to implore us, bring one person, and as God blesses you, God blesses that person, and God rewards you and I in Jesus' name. So let's step out in greatness and avoid all the hindrances. So I believe we are going to take part two of this next week. There are so many things we need to cover. God bless you and see you next week. In Jesus' name.
A good success has come.